You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
A vote on self-rule in eastern Ukraine, or is it Russian rule? Or was it Russian speakers in Ukraine standing up to show their strength in numbers as a sign of just how easily they might keep the fragile Ukrainian government in Kiev off balance? Russian leader Vladimir Putin asked for a delay in this weekend's vote in eastern Ukraine. The European Union says the vote will have no legitimacy, and Ukraine's government said the only action it would take in response to the referendum is to possibly prosecute the organizers as criminals. Joining us is Serhiy Plokhiy, who's author of the new book, The Last Empire, The Final Days of the Soviet Union. He's professor of Ukrainian history at Harvard University. Professor, welcome.
Hi, John.
So do we have a People's Republic of Donetsk as of today in eastern Ukraine?
The organizers of the so-called referendum said that there will be no immediate changes in the status of the region within Ukraine. And it looks like that what is happening is that the separatists, the local elites, are preparing for the presidential elections that will take place on May 25th, having this referendum or results of the referendum as a leverage in negotiating with Kyiv after the presidential elections of May 25th.
You know, this vote is really something that echoes back in history, and you write about this. Here's a quote from Mikhail Gorbachev. In general, there would be nothing amiss, he talked about describing the changes taking place in the Soviet Union, if it were not for Ukraine and for the Crimea, which cannot be given up. That's Gorbachev and his deputy Chernaev talking about their concern that Russian speakers in Ukraine could never be assimilated into an independent Ukraine. Is this unfinished business from the old Soviet Empire?
Absolutely. To understand what is happening today in Ukraine and in region in general, one has to know a little bit of history, at least events of 1990 and 91. The quote that you just gave comes from a diary of Chernaev, one of the closest advisors to Gorbachev. And when the Ukrainians voted on December the 1st, 91, over 90% of those who participated in the elections, to split from Russia, to split from the Soviet Union, to declare their republic independent, the pro-independence vote in the Crimea and in Donbass came as a major surprise to people in Moscow, not only to Gorbachev, but also to Boris Yeltsin.
And the other thing that's interesting is that Crimea wanted to vote for self-rule, to be independent. It had a certain degree of autonomy under the Soviet Union, but that was suppressed. In some sense, the recent annexation referendum is a way of that ghost coming alive once again.
Yes, the issue of Crimea was very much on the agenda in Moscow and in Kyiv back in 1991. There were attempts to have a separate referendum in the Crimea back then. It didn't happen. So while Crimea was the play very much back in 91, Donbass, to a certain degree, it's a new issue, it's a new problem for the government in Kyiv and for the cause of Ukraine staying sovereign, independent, and choosing on its own its foreign policy, its economic policy, its domestic policy.
In 1991, the Soviet leaders suspected that the Russian speakers in Ukraine would never go along with an independence. They would rather stay in the sort of Soviet sphere. But these referendums seem to suggest that, in fact, a lot of Russian speakers have just sort of had enough with the shenanigans in Kyiv, and whatever suspicions they have about Vladimir Putin, they're sick and tired of what independence has been for them.
Well, it's not the issue of language or culture, because we have certainly people in other mostly Russian-speaking areas of Ukraine, like Dnipropetrovsk to the west from Donetsk, like Odessa, strongly being in pro-Kyiv camp and pro-independence camp. What we see in Donbass is the stronghold and the home turf for the former president of Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych, who led the most corrupt government in Ukraine's history and who is now hiding in Russia and using his money to stir trouble. People are fed up with corruption both in Kyiv, in the West, in Donbas. But again, they rebel against the corrupt government in a different way and under different banners. And Russian intervention in the Crimea and then intervention by sending its commanders to eastern Ukraine, to Donbas, helped to steer that protest and that dissatisfaction into anti-Kyiv direction. Mm. So if central and western Ukraine and people in Kyiv link their hopes for the future, for fighting corruption with European Union, it's a different story in Donetsk because of the influence of Yanukovych, because of the influence of Russian government and the presence of Russian troops across the border, a few dozen of miles away from Donetsk, so the troops never were moved back from the border.
I'm interested to know, before we go, Serhiy Plokhiy, do you believe that these issues now unfolding in Ukraine are post-Soviet issues? Or, as you write in The Last Empire, do you believe that in some sense the old Soviet Empire is trying to reassemble itself in this part of Europe?
Well, certainly Russia today is using its military might to rewrite the history of the collapse and disintegration of the Soviet Union. Whether the goal is to recreate the Soviet Union in its own, in the way how it existed, I doubt that that is really the goal. The goal is to create a sphere of influence for Moscow and for Russia where they would be dominant militarily, economically, culturally, politically. And Ukraine is essential. It was essential for the continuing existence of the Soviet Union in 1990, for the disintegration of the Soviet Union in 91. And now it's essential for creation of this Russian sphere of influence in the post-Soviet space.
Serhiy Plokhiy is the author of The Last Empire, The Final Days of the Soviet Union. He's professor of Ukrainian history at Harvard University. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.